Is MMA Torch editor Jamie Pennick, and this is the daily audio update, part one of multiples, hopefully, starting for Tuesday, September 23rd, 2008. I'm joined by special guest, MMA Torch columnist Jason Bent today. Jason, we're here today to talk about what has taken place over the last weekend. It's been a culmination of a situation with KJ Nunes and Elite XC and Nick Diaz that has come to a breaking point and has led to KJ Nunes losing his lightweight belt, being stripped of the title by Elite XC. First off, your overall thoughts on where we're at with KJ here being stripped of the belt and what you think ultimately was the biggest mistake made by any of the parties getting into this situation?
I think the biggest thing is just having any kind of flack about their belts. I mean, Elite XC is struggling anyway, and to not have a linear champion at this stage of the game is not a good thing. I think everybody comes out of this looking bad, and no good can come from it in the fact that Nunes did defeat Diaz. So let's say they have Nick go up against Alvarez for the belt. You've still got the question of what if. And it's just nobody wins in this case, and you've got a problem for Elite. You know, in one respect, they clearly created the division for Nick Diaz. They've always wanted to have the belt on him, but you can't make these things happen. And KJ threw a wrench into the works. And KJ comes out of this looking worse for wear. Nick Diaz is Nick Diaz, but I think Elite XC is the loser because they can't even keep their champion happy. They can't produce a fight. And coming up for this big show in October, it would have been a showcase fight, something the MMA community would have been buzzing about, and it's been stripped. It's just been stripped away, and everybody comes out of this the loser, especially the fans that are paying attention to it.
And you know, on some respects, I definitely agree with you wholly in that, but I'm going to take devil's advocate here for a second. And the fact is, Elite XC right now, they're a fourth-rate promotion. Plain and simple, they're a fourth-rate promotion. KJ Nunes is known to some MMA fans, known to many inside MMA fans. He's not known to any of the mainstream public. He's been on their Showtime shows. He refused what would have been his highest profile fight on October 4th. Granted, he had complaints for that. I believe he had valid complaints for not wanting to come to terms with Elite XC from some of this stuff. But on a devil's advocate side with this, at the same point, he has no name value to barter with. He has no right at this stage in his career to be demanding or to be dictating who his opponent is. And so at the same time, we can say we can get on Elite XC about not treating their champion right. We can do the same with KJ not being not knowing his place in that company and thinking he was more important than he ultimately was in this situation.
I agree. I mean, Elite XC is so far down the food chain, and you take KJ very young into his career. I would say this would be the equivalent of a fifth-round draft pick in the NFL. Having, you know, decent spot on the team, maybe make some special teams plays, and then comes into the next year trying to demand a star salary, and it's like, what? You haven't proven anything yet. You really haven't. I mean, he's got the belt. He's got a win over Diaz, but he's not made a name for himself. I mean, if you would walk KJ Nunes through a mall, most people would say, oh, that's the guy that folds shirts in Hollister. They're not going to know he's an MMA fighter. They're not going to recognize him. He doesn't have the name value of like a Tito Ortiz to sit back and demand something or call the shots, or like Randy Couture. It doesn't exist, and Elite's belt is just not valuable. I mean, there's belts you can pick up off the rack in Walmart that are worth more than the Elite XC belt at lightweight, and in this case, it is about knowing your role. You are the champion, and your nickname is the king, but you're not the king in this case. You need to make your name. You need to, you know, earn your value, and by proxy, you're going to earn value for that belt, which is going to provide you with leverage down the line. At this point, there was no leverage, and he just blew it. He really did blow it if you look at it that way.
Well, and that's where KJ really dropped the ball here and really screwed up was by being as stubborn as he was, because as you said, that lightweight belt, any of Elite XC's belts, they don't hold water. It's very clear to any real MMA fan that the competition isn't there for any of their divisions in Elite XC. You know, you can make the argument that that Jake Shields could take on some of the other welterweights around the world, that he might have a chance against some of them. I thought it was ridiculous when he called out whoever would be the winner of Fitch and St. Pierre, but at the same time, he doesn't have a chance to face that type of competition and to prove himself in that manner. But the point I'm getting at is their belts don't mean anything, and KJ didn't realize it to the extent that Elite XC did. They know their belt doesn't mean anything. They know that it's not a leverage for KJ here. And, you know, they wanted the fight that would be the highest profile for them on CBS to help bring in the viewers. And this is where KJ dropped the ball, because regardless of his complaints about pay, which are valid, sure. Regardless of his complaints about the disparity between his pay and Nick Diaz, again, valid complaints. But the fact of the matter is, if he would have shown up for this fight on October 4th, if he would have taken this fight, and if he would have beaten Nick Diaz in that high-profile environment, not only would his pay scale go up, the sponsorships, as you stated off-air before we came on, the sponsorships that he'd have, just opportunity-wise, would be amazing for the CBS show, and it would only get better with a victory there. So he cost himself more than a belt, more than pride. He cost himself a ton of money. And that's just plain and simple fact.
Yep, he cost himself so much money, and you have to look at the fact he agreed to the contract. You know, he took the job. He agreed to the rate of pay. He was happy to be there. Here is the opportunity to be on CBS to earn more than double his income for this fight based on sponsorships and just exposure alone. The exposure is worth 10 times the purse for this fight. And obviously, you would imagine his goal is to fight in the UFC. Dana White and Fertitta, they don't want headaches. And the only time they will deal with a headache is if it's valuable enough to deal with, like in Randy Couture's case. Any kind of headaches from that, the Brock Lesnar-Couture fight, a possible Fedor fight, it's worth dealing with that. But with a guy who's not a known name, who's not a commodity, you're not going to put up with that. And at this point, he needed to live up to the contract with two more fights on the contract, one of which would have been against Diaz. From there, you know, he could defend, hypothetically say he wins. He could defend the belt again. And at that point, he could say, look, I've got two wins over Nick Diaz. I've lived up to the terms of my contract. I still have a belt. It's time for you to take care of me. And he comes out of this looking better and actually looking employable. Because at this point, nobody's going to want to deal with the headaches and, you know, some of the negative PR, especially if, you know, this could happen again. You do something once, there's a risk of it again. And I think that's a risk not many are going to be willing to take, not at this point at all.
Well, and let's look at what brought us to this point here. last month, end of last month, KJ Nunes sends in an email to BloodyElbow.com, and they post it up, and it's a big diatribe against Elite XC, explaining why he wouldn't take this fight, explaining his problems with it, you know. And then day after that, we get a point-by-point breakdown and rebuttal from GracieFighter.com, the camp of Nick Diaz. And, you know, I want to take a look at this because both sides had very valid points here, but they came across both as very embittered, squabbling children, in my view, and really led to where we're at today. And taking a look back on it now, kind of all signs were pointing to this, because it with the way these two feel towards each other, this fight wasn't coming together, at least on KJ's end. I mean, he starts it, honor my contract. Elite XC wants to talk about honoring the contract. How about when Elite XC honored the contract to pay my fight and my pay to fight Edson Berto went down after I lost my first fight? That was not part of my contract. Or how about the contract Gary Shaw breached by not promoting my boxing career? So he talks about his MMA career and wanting to be co-promoted in boxing as well. Says he took the MMA deal because he wanted to box too, so he took the deal with Elite XC to that. Diaz camp response, you don't have a boxing career. No one knows who you are. Another MMA company would have paid you less and not given you a title shot at one-on-one. And the final one, which was one of the best points the Diaz camp made in this rebuttal, was if you're not fighting Diaz due to the breach of contract by Elite XC, why would you fight Alvarez for the same terms? So, of course, because KJ wanted to give that title shot to Eddie Alvarez. And again, this starts off where you can see, really, you can find fault in the way this played out, but you can also understand and really, you can see where everyone was coming from, and you can understand why they did that, and you can agree with some of the positions that they took. But again, it was a lot of the stubborn being the stubborn and the blind leading the blind in this. And, you know, it really started with this central argument about his contract being breached and that being one of the major reasons he didn't want to cooperate with Elite XC. And yet he'd still take another fight under their branch for the same terms, but he wouldn't fight Nick Diaz. Your thoughts on that first point by point?
Exactly. I mean, if a company has breached their contract with you, why would you still be willing to work for that company? If that is his main problem, then it becomes, I'm not going to fight for you at all, not, you know what, I'll fight Eddie Alvarez. And in this case, Nick Diaz comes across as very clear-headed, you know, a little bit childish in a way. You know, it's rooted in that, but he brings up great points. The fact that 154 pounds in boxing, KJ Nunes would be lucky to fight 6 rounders somewhere, 8 rounders. He's not going to fight on show box. I don't care what anybody says. He's not going to suddenly get Gary Shaw put in on a show box card. It's just not going to happen. And to suddenly mention you're willing to fight Eddie Alvarez under the same terms of the deal, it just lends credence to the whole argument that he does not want to fight Nick Diaz. It suddenly becomes less about the contract and more about the fight with Nick Diaz, which suddenly it just makes the argument look weak, because if the company breached the contract with you, you should step to the side and say, no, I'm not going to work with them or do business. But in this case, you're picking another fight, so you're essentially agreeing to the terms of the deal, but you want to pick and choose who you fight. And in this case, it looks as if he is avoiding Nick Diaz. It firmly looks like that from this point-by-point stage of the argument.
That was Jason Bent finishing up with part one of our three-part series here. We'll be back tomorrow with part two, so stay tuned for more on MMATorch.com.